It's good to have you here again today, or perhaps you're joining us for the first time. Whether you are here by radio, coast to coast, across America, or around the world by the podcast, welcome. Yesterday, I opened the broadcast and podcast by telling you that I accept the Bible to be the truth. I believe that when the Bible speaks, God speaks, and whatever God says is true. So since the Bible is God speaking, that makes the Bible true. And I'm not going to defend to you why I believe this, at least not now. I am aware of the criticisms on the credibility of the biblical text, but the reason that I am not going to start to counter-argue those criticisms is because God doesn't start there. God doesn't see himself as needing to defend himself as he presents himself in the Bible. He simply lays out who he is. He starts at the beginning and narrates his own story. He self-reveals and then anticipates that you and I will take what he says about himself and we will either accept him or reject him. God is very matter of fact. God is what you see is what you get. God is perfectly comfortable within his own perfection. God is not begging us, some sort of pleading with us on hands and knees to bow to him. No, God is saying, this is who I am. And so with that in mind, we started at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God. We paused there in our reading and I said that God presents himself as existing. God is unequivocal, unmistakable, indisputable. Here I am. Personally, I'm mesmerized by how profound this is. Like all of you, there is a first time when I came to the Bible and read it for myself. So I picked it up and opened to the first page and read, in the beginning, God. And my eyes went wide, and my mind was suddenly very alert to the reality of God. There he was. These four words are the greatest of any opening words ever written to anyone about anything or about anyone. Here I am, and there he is. Although I could hardly make sense of it, little me way down here and God far above and beyond me. And yet he came off that page and brought me into his life and confronted me with this. He, God, is. My response to these four words, in the beginning God, was not, is there a God? But rather, this is God. This was confrontation, God saying, here I am. And since then, I have not been able to shake him, and of course, now I would never want to be without his constant and abiding presence in my life. Not for one second. I love the living God because he first loved me. And so I ask, who is God? What is the nature and character of God? We can put it this way, what is God like? Getting to know him is now possible, for he has told us about himself in writing. As we answer that question in an ongoing way, I'm talking the rest of this week to you about God's existence. Yesterday I said that God is one. There is one God. Notice the name God, not gods, plural, but God, singular. God is one. He is all that exists in the beginning. There's no other divine being. There are not multiple gods, only G-O-D, God. There are no human persons, there are no other gods, and there are no humans. Only God exists in the beginning. At the end of yesterday's broadcast, I did prompt us with a stimulating question. How did God get there in the beginning? Since God is all that exists in the beginning, then how did he get there? What do you think? Did you do your little assignment? To answer this, I will tell you that I believe God actually exists before the beginning. The very first reality we learn about God is that God exists, and he exists before the beginning. Now, don't change the station. Perhaps this sounds a little too philosophical or theological for this time in the day when you're hustling to get to or home from work, and it is a tough day for whatever reason. But stick with me here. My intention is not to confuse you, but to clarify for you these first four words of Genesis chapter 1. In order for God to be at the beginning, then God must be before the beginning. I repeat that. In order for God to be at the beginning, then God must be before the beginning. Think of it this way. If you were describing to me a long road trip that you and your family took this summer as it began, you decided to get out of town early this year. then you might say to me, in the beginning, I'm driving down 93 South. For those of you in California, in the beginning, we were driving down the freeway. And I would automatically assume that you existed before the beginning in your story. In order for your story to have a beginning, you must have already been there. And in my mind, you're driving down Route 93, or 128, or the freeway because you pre-exist before you got behind the wheel of your minivan. According to the Bible, God exists before the beginning. The text does not say, after the beginning God. It says, in the beginning God. So at the start, whenever that start is, there is God. Now let me explore another way to say this. See if you follow. To do this, let me read just one more word from the Genesis 1:1 text. In the beginning God created. Yesterday we stopped at in the beginning God. But if we read one more word, then we learn that God created. We'll get to what and who he created another day. But for now, notice that God existed before God created. So we can say God pre-existed. Before the creation, God is pre-existing. He exists before anyone else. He exists before anything else. Before the creation, God is. Let me share with you three reasons for why this is important. Today we'll start exploring these and then continue tomorrow. Perhaps you will have other reasons beyond the ones I give, and if so, you can write to me with those. The first reason the pre-existence of God is important is that God has no beginning. The second reason the pre-existence of God is important is that it demonstrates that you and I are not God. And the third reason the pre-existence of God is important is that, ironically, his pre-existence proves his existence. God's pre-existence proves his existence. Now, if you missed those, I'm going to give them to you again right now. And as we move along, I will repeat them. So you'll get them by the end of the week. The first reason the pre-existence of God is important is that God has no beginning. The second reason the pre-existence of God is important is that it demonstrates that you and I are not God. And the third reason the pre-existence of God is important is that, quite ironically, his pre-existence proves his existence. God's pre-existence proves his existence. The first reason the pre-existence of God is important is that God has no beginning. God has no beginning. Now, what do I mean by this? I mean the following. No human person and no other divine being created God. God is uncreated. He simply exists. Listen to the words of Psalm 90, verse 2, also in the Bible's Old Testament, as the author addresses God. Psalm 90, verse 2, "Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And neither is some sort of other divine power able to do these things to God." Why? Because contrary to the incessant insistence of popular ideas circling around the culture today, there is no other God. There are no other gods. There's only one God, and he exists. He had no beginning. He has no end. He has no rival. He's not competing with any other deity or deities. They do not exist. On this point, modern-day culture will absolutely reject what I've just said. People will pick up. They will immediately sense within my statement and my tone exclusivity to it all. I am being restrictive and limiting. Who am I to say that if someone wants to worship their God their way, that they are wrong to do so? What is so problematic if I believe in the God of the Christians and the Jews, but I also think there is credence to Allah and Buddha and to the various idols that adorn my mantle? After all, we don't want to be so judgmental towards other people's conceptions of God. Who are we to say they are wrong? And that whoever and whatever they think is God will not answer their prayers. I have had this said to me more than once recently as I talk with men and women about who God is. You have likely had this said to you if you are actively engaging people in this culture with the gospel as well. People do not favor exclusivity. They demand multiple choices, many ways, when it comes to God. And I understand that you may feel this way, because Christian people are bombarded with resistance all the time to our conviction that there is only one God, and He is the God of the Bible. Then eventually we get worn down, and sometimes even we can start to wonder, well, maybe there is something to the prayers of the people who adhere to the other religions. I mean, they cannot all be wrong, can they? People of such devotion? Well, according to the Bible, not only can they all be wrong, they are wrong. Someone just changed the station or hit stop on this podcast. But I maintain, contrary to the incessant insistence of popular ideas circling around the culture today, there is no other God. There are no other gods. There is only one God, and He exists. He had no beginning. He has no end. He has no rival. He's not competing with any other deity or other deities. They do not exist. We will soon have to pause here. I hope you'll be with us for the rest of the week, perhaps inviting a friend or a person with whom you've had conversations about God to join us at the same time tomorrow. As a Christian, I have accepted that God alone is at the beginning. I believe He pre-exists, and only He exists. And I'm certainly willing to give engagement with those of you who resist this perspective in your own thinking. And hopefully what I will share with all of you will at the very least prompt you to go deeper in your own understanding of who God is. For those of you Christians listening, have you thought about the existence and pre-existence of God? Many of you have not spent much time pondering this. Hopefully, our time together will assist you in learning one of the most basic truths about our great God. He has always existed. And pray for me. Ask the Lord to give me wisdom to present who God is clearly and accurately. Thank you. I invite all of us to think on these things. Although you will now return to think about what's on your agenda today, I encourage you to think about God. And let's all meet back here together again tomorrow, for God is...